Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Mr. Bob Carson, Carlson on the line, and he writes a newsletter that deals with retirement, with the basic theme that the rules of retirement are changing. We've always had our idea, you work till you're 65, you get your Social Security, you get your corporate pension, or your business pension, or your the pension that has been provided for you, your 401k, and you live happily all the rest of your life. But, Mr. Carlson, you say that the rules are changing?
Yes, indeed they are.
Well, why don't you tell us how they're changing and why the people out there who are approaching the retirement years or even in retirement had better start making alternative plans?
Well, they're changing in a number of ways. Back in the... people really didn't retire until about the 1960s. Before that, people generally worked as long as they could, which is usually until they died. And then we developed retirement as kind of a lifestyle. But back then, if you were a retiree, you basically lived about 5 years in retirement on average. You had an employer's pension, a little bit of Social Security, and your employer usually picked up your medical expenses, and then Medicare also came in to supplement that. But nowadays, things are very different. People are, number one, retiring earlier on average, and lifespans have expanded dramatically just in the last few decades. So people are being retired for 20 or 30 years or even longer. So they have to finance that. There are people who are living longer in retirement than they actually had a working career. And so that gets very expensive. And also these support mechanisms from employers and the government are being cut back. Most employers now pay 401k plans instead of fixed pension benefits, so the saving and investment burden is on you, not on your employer. Employers are also cutting back on the amount they'll pay for retiree medical care. They're cutting back quite dramatically on that, and at the same time, the cost of that's going up quite a bit. So these support mechanisms for retirees are being cut back, so we have expenses for the individual going up, and length of retirement going up, so you really need to accumulate quite a bit of money, more than many people realize when you're going into retirement.
And then, of course, right now, if you're invested in CDs or fixed monetary increments, why certainly you're not getting a lot in the way of interest, and inflation is wiping out the value of your savings. So how do we counter that?
Yeah, one of the old rules of retirement that was developed for that first generation that retired back in the 60s was when you get into retirement, move all your investments into something safe like CDs or short-term bonds. But if you've done that since the early 1980s, you've not only lost out to inflation, you've seen the actual interest rate paid on those investments decline dramatically. So you have to consider inflation during this 20 or 30 years of retirement. So a good part of your portfolio has to be invested for growth in the stock market, in real estate, something of that nature. So your income has to grow over time. Otherwise, after about 15 years of 2% inflation, you're going to need about a third to 50% more income than you started out with. So you really need that income to grow during retirement.
All right, you hang on there, Mr. Carlson. We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Genesis. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, our guest this afternoon, Mr. Bob Carlson, who writes a retirement newsletter, and the basic theme of that newsletter is things are changing, and they really are changing for people who are retired. You certainly, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, we had certainly an expanding economy, certainly coming out of the Reagan recession in the early 1980s, and the dollar had not lost anywhere near the value that it has, and during this last 25 years since Ronald Reagan became the president, 24 years, why, the dollar has probably lost 50% of its previous value, maybe even more than that, and sort of interest rates are down. And so Mr. Carlson's point is, if you are retired and you're going to do what people have always done in the past, and that is invest in bonds, invest in CDs, invest in cash instruments, you're losing in value. You almost have to be in something that is going to guarantee that you're going to have growth. Otherwise, you're going behind. Would that be a fair statement?
That is a very good summary.
All right. So what do our listeners do? What do the people who are facing retirement or already in retirement do to protect themselves at this time in history? Because we are entering a period, I don't think we've seen anything quite like this since the time immediately after the Vietnam War.
Yeah, you need most of all a margin of safety. You need a margin of safety in the amount that you save up, because there'll be surprises like perhaps major medical expenses, a reduction in the support you're getting from your former employer or the government. So when you do your planning and calculating, build in a margin of safety. Also, when you do your investments, you need a margin of safety in there. I say you need to invest for growth in your portfolio, but you don't want to swing for the fences and invest in some really risky or volatile investments. I recommend that people invest in mutual funds that invest in stocks that pay dividends. That way you'll have a steady income. Those type of stocks will be less volatile than the stock market in general. And also, companies that pay dividends often increase those dividends most years. So that's one way your income will grow. The dividend income will increase. Also, I like real estate investment trusts. They pay a high income. That income generally grows by 5 to 15% a year. And also, as the economy grows, the value of those shares will increase. So you'll have a higher net worth, and in time you can sell some of those shares for income when you need that for additional spending.
All right. Well, Chris, the problem is, though, that we've seen that the mutual funds of many of these were mutually beneficial for the people who are managing the funds, and many of these funds were, well, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Mr. Carlson was saying that the people who are retiring are going to have to become dependent upon their life savings to look after them as they go into their twilight years. They have to invest perhaps more aggressively than they would have in past times. And so, you know, certainly if you're simply invested in CDs and put your money in the bank over this last 25 years, you've lost half the value of that. You may have gotten 1 or 2% interest on it, and then you've had to pay income tax on that. But the value of the dollar is decreasing. And so Mr. Carlson's point is, you have to invest. You have to invest wisely. He suggested mutual funds and, of course, real estate trusts. And I was simply pointing out that how do you know you have an honest mutual fund? Because we saw, certainly here in the last few years, that it's been exposed that many of these people managing the mutual funds did very well for themselves. And, of course, they were simply skimming off the top and not passing the growth on to and the profits. And when the stock market collapsed, why, a lot of people lost an awful lot of money. So how do we know we have an honest mutual fund?
Yeah, that's one thing we look for at Retirement Watch, is what I call shareholder-friendly mutual funds. And there are several things you look for. At Retirement Watch, we were very fortunate that none of the mutual funds we've recommended over the years was caught in the mutual fund scandals. And that's because of the qualities we look for in a fund. We look for a fund that is no load. That means there's no front-end sales charge that's imposed on the investor. We look for low or reasonable expenses. We look for someone who's been managing that fund for a long time and has managed it the same way pretty consistently. We also prefer a fund where the managers invest along with us. They have a large portion of their net worth invested in their own fund. When they do that, they're not very likely to play the games that we've seen played. We also like a fund that will close to new investors when it gets too big. The funds that got into trouble were the ones whose sole concern was earning the maximum income they could from their funds. So they would not close when the funds got too big for the manager to maintain his investment style, whereas the good funds will do that on a regular basis, and then they'll reopen a year or two later when the investment climate has changed. So those are the kinds of things we look for in the mutual funds that we recommend. It's been very good for us, and we were able to avoid all the scandal-ridden funds that you read about in the newspapers.
Well, of course, now you've made the point that real estate trusts were an excellent investment, and certainly they've been done very well in the past, but will the real estate trusts be affected if the housing bubble bursts?
Probably not. The real estate investment trusts are invested in diversified real estate, and it's mostly not the individual residences that are the source of this potential housing bubble. Instead, you'll be invested in office buildings, regional shopping malls, local shopping centers, apartment houses, warehouses, pretty much anything except single-family homes. And if there is a real estate bubble out there, it's in the single-family homes. And so you won't be exposed to that in a real estate investment trust.
All right, fine. Well, now, what sort of percentage, a yearly growth would you expect to find in your mutual funds and your real estate trust?
Well, it's going to vary a lot based on what's going on in the market. But I think going forward over time, you'll be earning anywhere from a 7% to 10% annually on your money. And that's consistent with the long-term average for the stock market. And if you pick the right mutual funds, the ones where they do a little bit of active management and they've shown over time that they can beat the averages, then you'll probably do a little bit better than the indexes. And you also have a less volatile investment. It won't have as much up and downward swing as the market indexes.
All right, now what about things like oil stocks or oil or precious metal stocks? Would this be a good place to be at the present time, or should you just let other people invest your money as they would in the mutual funds?
Well, the precious metal stocks I generally don't recommend because it's a very thinly traded market, and it's also a very emotional market, so there's very wide swings in that kind of investment. So for my subscribers, we're looking at the retirement nest egg who don't want to be monitoring their money every day, I really don't recommend the precious metal stocks. The energy stocks, it's a good idea to have a portion of them in your portfolios. In fact, we have one portfolio we call income growth, where we want a high income with some capital gains potential over time. And a good portion of that is invested in utility and energy funds because those do pay a high dividend. And that dividend increases almost every year in those funds. It's what I like to call a growth bond, where you get a dividend payment, but it's going to increase over time, unlike a regular bond where your income is fixed, and so you're going to lose ground to inflation each year.
All right, fine. Well, now, what about the economy? There are some people who think that with the rising interest rates, and certainly we've had, 12 or 13 successive rises in interest rates over the last couple of years, that this is going to have a terribly dampening effect on both the housing market and the asset market. Alan Greenspan seems to think that there is both a housing bubble and an asset bubble in the United States. How will that impact on the investments that you're talking about?
Well, what many people overlook is that even after this long string of interest rate increases, current interest rates are still very low. Back in the 1990s, when we had the big economic and stock market boom, short-term rates were over 5%. Right now, they're still under 4%. So we know that interest rates can go much higher than they are now without really interfering with economic growth. Interest rates were pushed down to some very abnormally low levels after September 11, 2001, and they were held down there for quite a long time. So we're really just getting back up to a normal range right now. So I don't think the interest rate increases we're looking at right now are going to have a strong negative effect on either the economy or the stock market, and really it's going to take a while longer before they make real estate expensive. So I think the housing asset inflation bubble that that Mr. Greenspan perhaps wants to pop is going to be a little while longer.
All right. Now, what about people in retirement? Should they have anything invested in currency insurance? Here I'm speaking of gold and silver, physical possession, or do you think that once you're retired, you just don't have to worry about things like that?
Well, it depends what your goal is. If you're anticipating a kind of a complete breakdown in the economy or the markets, then you might want some of that in your physical possession. Otherwise, if you just want to hedge against a falling dollar and inflation in the U.S., I think you can do a much better investment by going into a mutual fund that will buy international stocks or international bonds, because then you'll be hedged against the dollar. You'll have some benefit from economic growth in the stocks owned by those funds, but you won't have the lack of liquidity that you would from owning the actual individual metals.
And so then you don't necessarily recommend people hold any metals at all, you know, once you're after in retirement.
No, what we do have in our portfolios right now is a mutual fund that does invest in the commodity markets, the commodity future markets. It's called the PIMCO Commodity Real Return Fund. That's benefited from the rise in the oil prices, as well as the general rise in commodity prices that's occurred over the last few years, and I anticipate will continue to occur over the next couple years at least. So that's one way you can benefit from the decline in the dollar, hedge yourself against rising inflation, and still have a very liquid investment. If you want, you can sell the entire thing with just one phone call.
Well, certainly in the past, why, the dollar was king. The dollar was the reserve currency for the world, and everybody in the world wanted dollars. Today, why, the dollar is being supported by countries throughout the world to the tune of somewhere between $3 and $4 billion a day. We get various, but certainly I think that it was $2 billion. It seems to be up to about $3 billion a day that we have to borrow from other countries simply to finance, you know, the running of our society. Is there a possibility that the dollar, that the increment that people are staking their retirement security on, could really get into trouble? Could the dollar begin to crumble as it has in so many other countries, with fiscal irresponsibility, with massive trade deficits and massive domestic deficits? Is this of concern to you?
Not in any time in the short term. Right now, the other countries need to buy the dollar as much as we need to sell it to them, because their main markets for their goods are the U.S. And when we buy goods from them, they receive our dollars, and ultimately those dollars have to be spent in the U.S. So they really need to be buying our assets with those dollars. And also China and some other countries, they're using this process to kind of build their economies, to make sure there's a market for all their goods and services. Now, where we might get into trouble is if, for example, the European countries actually resort to some kind of free market policies and build up their economic growth. And if some of the other emerging markets in Asia or Latin America do the same, then the Chinese and the Japanese won't need to sell goods to us. They could sell them to Europe, or they could sell them to Latin America, and then they wouldn't need the dollars, and they wouldn't need to reinvest the dollars back in the U.S. So as long as Europe has a fairly poor economy, and the other economies in Asia and Latin America are still struggling, I think the dollar will be fine. Where we will get into trouble is if these other economies adopt some sensible economic policies and start to grow so that the U.S. is not the market everyone looks to sell their goods and services.
All right, well, we're going to be back here in just a couple of moments there. Our guest today is Mr. Bob Carlson. Carlson, and what is the name of your letter that you publish?
It's called Retirement Watch. You can view it on our website, retirementwatch.com.
All right, fine. And when we get back, why, as you have a telephone number that people would call?
Yes, 800-552-1152.
One more time, please.
800-552-1152.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Mr. Bob Carlson. If you have any questions, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. Bob Carlson, and of course his newsletter's Retirement Watch. Well, Mr. Carlson, what about what's happening as far as energy is concerned? We've suddenly seen, the price of gasoline gone up from about $1.60, $1.70 a year ago. It's up about $3 now. We find natural gas. The prices are going up, certainly here in California, and really all across the country. It looks like the increasing price of energy is going to have a profound impact, not only on, what it costs just to drive our cars, but certainly on the cost of living, because everything in our country is petroleum dependent, or so many things are, whether it be fertilizers, whether it be plastics, whether it be paint, whether it be the drugs we take, whether almost everything is tied to this really skyrocketing cost of oil. How is that going to impact on what we're talking about?
Well, there are several things going on in the oil market. There's some short-term and some long-term factors. The shorter-term factors, there's probably a premium in the price of oil based on terrorism and uncertainty how that will affect, for example, the stability of oil fields in the Middle East. So there's a premium there that we don't know how long that's going to stay in the price. Also, the government has been filling up the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. A lot of people that feel that's boosted the price of oil from about $5 to $15 per barrel, depending on who you ask. Other factors are the strong economic growth around the world, particularly from China and India and the U.S. Also, there's been the lack of refining capacity. The refiners are basically doing all they can right now, so any problems with them will cause a really big surge in the price of oil for a short period of time. But one interesting thing is the oil companies really don't seem to believe the price is going to stay up where it has been, because they're basing all their new investment decisions on the assumption that oil is going to be somewhere between $30 and $45 per barrel. So the oil companies really seem to think that the current price of oil is not going to stay where it is for a considerable period of time, that sometime in the next year or two, it'll fall down to that $30 to $45 price range.
What happens if they're wrong? Or what happens if some people really want the price of oil up? Because certainly the oil companies will make a lot more money that way.
Certainly they will, at least for a short period of time, but ultimately it'll cause people to reduce their consumption, to seek substitutes, and that sort of thing. So a long-term high price of oil is going to cause some major changes. One theory is that OPEC and some oil producers don't particularly want a high price of oil, but what they want is volatility in the oil market. With volatility, that keeps people from doing investments because they can't be sure what price they're going to get when they're new investments are actually producing oil. So really, people could adapt to a high price over some period of time, but the volatility in the oil market is what makes it very difficult for economies and people to adapt, and that's why the oil companies are basing their decisions on this $30 to $45 price range, because they've seen the volatility. They've seen the price of oil go from $30 to over $60 in a very short period of time. So they're not convinced it's going to stay up there.
All right. Well, certainly this is still going to make it very, very difficult for people. People are not going to have the amount of money to be spending if they're putting it out, even if this only lasts for 3 or 4 or 6 months. People are going to be putting out so much money for oil and for the heating oil and for natural gas. They're not going to have the money to be buying all the things they have in the past. Is that a factor? Could that have an impact on the world's economy?
It will certainly have an effect on individual businesses. What we've seen in the last 6 months as the price of oil has gone up is people have cut back in their spending in certain areas, particularly some retail stores and some restaurants. They're eating out less, they're buying fewer extras. So people will make adjustments of that sort as the price of oil goes back and cut back what extras they can.
And I certainly share your concern. I'm very concerned that the high price of oil can begin to dampen the economy. And certainly, if the economy does tighten, begin to dampen, we have certainly no savings at all. I mean, compared with other countries, where Japan and China and other countries where people are saving, the average American is living on debt. More debt, just go out and buy it, you know, shop till you drop is the idea. But how long can that continue, especially in an uncertain world? We're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Mr. Bob Carlson. We'll welcome your calls. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Bob Carlson. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly one of the things that is of major concern, I think, to many people is the continuing war over in Iraq. Not only the terrible loss in human life and in suffering, but certainly the financial impact of spending money that we don't have and running up a massive deficit where we're actually spending 6% more every year than we produce. How long can you continue doing that indefinitely?
Certainly not indefinitely, but the good news is that the deficit is a lower percentage of the gross domestic product than it was back in the Reagan years when the deficits seemed so large then. The economy has grown faster than the debt has grown. So we have much more valuable assets than we did back then. So we actually have a very good balance sheet if you look at both the value of our assets and the debt. But certainly at some point over time, we need to stop spending more than we take in at the government level and start paying down some of that debt.
Well, of course, Ronald Reagan ran up a debt of about $2 billion every year he was in office. So we increased the national debt, I think, $1.7 billion. $1.7 trillion during the time Ronald Reagan, the great conservative, was in the White House. But now we have to pay interest on that national debt, which of course gets higher and higher, and we're approaching an $8 trillion national debt. In fact, last year they ran up about half a trillion dollar in debt, and again this year I think it's about $500 billion, and with Katrina they're talking about $200 billion for Katrina and a couple of $100 billion to continue the war in Iraq. But you don't really think this is anything serious to concern about as far as the stability of our currency is concerned, even though they certainly our gross domestic product is increasing, but most of our gross domestic product is people's services for one person for another.
Well, I watch what the bond and the currency markets are doing, and what they've been telling us is that they're not too concerned about this current level of spending or the current level of the debt. They've held interest rates fairly steady to a relatively small decline over the last couple of years as this debt and spending have gone up. The dollar has had some ups and downs, but over the last 5 years or so, it's probably been in the same average price range as where it is now. So the people who follow these things very closely and who own the debt and the currency instruments that would be most effective if there were a big event that reduced their value, they're not too worried. So I think for the short term, these are not things that really should concern us. But if they continue going on and on each year like that, well, then certainly the debt will begin to grow faster than the economy is growing and faster than assets are appreciating. And then we'll have a very serious problem.
But won't that really impact upon the people, of course, who have retired, because they're not able to recoup their money? In other words, if they lose the value of their savings, why, they've really had it, because they're not young, they can't start in all over again. And so we really have to maintain the value of what these people have. What about the fact that over the last week, gold has gone up almost $20 an ounce? Is that of any concern to you?
Gold is certainly a factor we need to look at. The good news for that is that the dollar has not declined at the same ratio that gold has gone up. Normally, when there's a fiscal problem with a country, both gold will go up and the currency will decline. So perhaps this is something that's just going on in the gold market. As I said, this is a fairly thinly traded market, and it doesn't take much to move it a big amount in a short period of time. So if we look at other factors, the bond market, the currency market, it's not as scary as this one big jump in the gold price.
And, of course, the price of silver and platinum have gone up. Do you think that really considerably? Silver is up the old 20, actually 30 cents an ounce in the last couple of weeks. Is that of any consequence, or is that just following along behind gold?
Usually they run together, one thing we have done in our portfolios that I've recommended to people is that they do have some kind of commodity investment in the portfolio, because these things do happen, and we don't want to see our personal balance sheets depreciating when that happens, and so we want to benefit from it by owning some of these commodities in our portfolios so that we'll benefit from the price increase as well.
Well, do you think that people who have retired would be wise to have perhaps some commercial rentals, something of that sort, which would give them a regular income and possibly even some write-offs as far as their income tax is concerned?
Some kind of real estate is a good part of any portfolio. The trick with owning an individual property or properties is that it's really not an investment, it's a business. You have to put your time into managing it. Some people are able to do that and willing to do that. Others are not. If you are, that's great. It's usually a good investment. If not, then you can look at these alternatives we have in our portfolios, such as the real estate investment trusts and the commodity investments.
Well, now, do you pick these the specific trusts for people to invest in, or is there a whole just group of various items? Do you suggest one real estate trust and one mutual fund, or do you suggest that they be widely diversified in various mutual funds and various real estate trusts?
Well, with the real estate investment trust, I recommend a specific fund that buys a number of them, and it's very diversified across different types of real estate and different regions of the country. I prefer a fund called Cohen & Steers Realty Shares. It's been one of the top funds. It was the first fund to specifically specialize in real estate investment trusts. So for that type of investment, I recommend you just buy shares of that fund, and that way you'll be instantly diversified across many different types of property and across all regions of the country.
Now, basically then, this is a real estate trust that buys real estate trust stocks?
It's a mutual fund that buys real estate investment trusts.
Right. All right. So basically, then it is invested in other companies that invest. So it doesn't actually hold the real estate itself. It has stock in the companies then that do actually own the real estate. Would that be correct?
That's right.
All right. Fine. Now, what about the mutual funds? Do you recommend specific mutual funds that have a good track record?
Yes, we have four different portfolios we recommend for different types of investors, and within those we give very specific recommendations about which mutual funds to buy, at what prices to buy them, and when appropriate when to sell them.
Well, now, how do you feel about the market today? Some people, those people, for instance, who follow the Elliott Wave theory, feel that we're entering a long-term bear contraction, and that we're going to see the dollar, which is doing fairly well now, begin to turn down. But many of our major stocks are going to turn down. Is that a possibility or not?
My position since about 1998 is that we're going to be in a period very similar to the 1966 to 1982 period, in which from the beginning to the end of that period, the stock indexes essentially went nowhere. They're flat. But within that period, there were a series of short-term bull markets and bear markets. And so to profit from this period and to maintain your financial security, you need to invest not in index funds, but in mutual funds that are going to buy and sell stocks, and that are going to look for good values. They won't be buying generally what's in the index. They'll be buying other investments. And also, you have to look at when it's appropriate to buy and sell these investments in general. I think starting with the 1998 period and going forward probably about another 10 years from now, there are times you're going to want to be almost completely out of U.S. stocks. And there'll be other times when you want most of your portfolio in U.S. stocks, because we're going to have these bull and bear markets that will last from 1 to 3 years each. So I think the people are going to be hurt the most going forward, as they have since about 1998, are those who just want to buy and hold index mutual funds. I think that's probably going to be a very bad place to have your money going forward.
All right, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, our guest is Mr. Bob Carlson, and he writes a Retirement Watch newsletter, retiring, advising people who are certainly at the end of their economic life and certainly looking forward to a pleasant retirement, how to ensure that they are going to be able to survive. Because I think, my personal opinion, that we're entering some very difficult economic times. In fact, if you read the speech that Alan Greenspan gave up there in Wyoming, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, he commented that we have never been in times just like this. We've never seen exactly this same scenario before, and suggesting that we were sort of in uncharted waters. Do you think there's any truth to that, or do you think perhaps he was just exaggerating a little bit?
Well, certainly we're in uncharted waters. Generally, economic cycles are never the same. There are always differences between them as people react differently to the economic stimulus and the different circumstances unfold. So certainly things, you can't look back at history and say, well, this is going to happen exactly the same. You have to look at it a little differently. See what the differences are between this cycle and the last one, between the circumstances and the historic circumstances. So certainly you need to keep having a fresh analysis of your views and trying to take a fresh look at things rather than just keeping with the same strategies or the same theories all the time with your investments. And that's one of the things I've started to stress in the book, The New Rules of Retirement, is that if you just rely on these rules that have developed in the past to do your planning, you're probably going to be hurt very badly because things change.
All right, fine. And of course, you're then there to guide people through this difficult period. And do you think right at the present time people should be fully invested in their real estate trusts and in their mutual funds, or do you think that people should begin perhaps getting out at the present time and getting into a more liquid position? And if they're going to get out, what are they going to be into?
Back in January, we did reduce our holdings of the real estate investment trust. We're not completely out of them, but I thought they're approaching what's basically fair value, so we don't have the big margin of safety that we had a few years ago, and so we've reduced the holdings there a bit. I think they're still going to be a good investment because I think the economy is still going to be growing for another year or two at least, so that they should hold up well, but I don't have that margin of safety. With the mutual funds, we're very diversified among many different markets. We have some international stock funds. We have some very conservative U.S. funds. We don't have the aggressive funds right now because I think there's a risk in the U.S. markets. And we're also invested in things like commodities that aren't ordinarily in many portfolios. But that's one of the things people have to do when we're in this long-term period where I think the stock market is not going to do all that great. You have to be looking at other types of investments, such as international stocks and bonds, commodities, and real estate. These should all be in your portfolio at appropriate times.
Well, it seems like there's a tremendous amount of growth in China, economic growth, a tremendous amount of economic growth in India, and certainly of the Malaysian countries. Do you think that people, if they're going to be holding foreign stocks or stock funds, should have the foreign funds that are invested in Europe, which is a little stagnant? They're having a terrible time as far as their economy is concerned because of the oppressive government rules and regulations and socialist programs, which have made their economy is extremely inefficient. Or should people be in the more dynamic areas of the world, like India, for instance?
Certainly Europe in general has been the most lagging sector of the entire world economy, and that's affected the returns of many stocks there. But rather than having me or an individual investor pick specific regions of the world to invest in, what I like to do in the international markets is to find a fund manager who's had good long-term experience and let him decide which companies to select and which countries to be invested in. And I think that's the thing to do, because rather than trying to bet on an entire region or a single country, what you should be doing is letting a professional who knows how to pick good companies by looking at their fundamentals, let him do that and put that in your portfolio via mutual funds.
All right. Well, of course, if we could all have a Warren Buffett directing our funds, well, we'd be very, 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 very fortunate. But how do we know we can really trust the people who are running the funds? That's the question that I always have, because, you know, there have been an awful lot of these people that really we found were totally corrupt, and nothing ever seems to be done to them. And we found that Morgan Stanley, having to pay out hundreds of millions of dollars for steering people into the wrong things, and so many of the big banks were suggesting people invest in things like Global Crossing and Enron and Tyco and the others that they knew were going down. So how do we know who to trust, or is that your job?
Well, that's one thing I do emphasize in the newsletter, is looking for these shareholder-friendly funds. And I do that by looking at how these people have run the mutual fund over a period of years. Do they charge high sales charges and high expenses? If so, they're not shareholder-friendly, and I don't want to invest with them. One thing I look at is, do they churn their portfolio a lot? If they do, that's not a good sign. It means they either don't have a consistent strategy, or they just have a very strange strategy that relies on very short-term changes in the markets, and I don't want to be with them.
Or they get a commission every time they make a sale.
Correct. And also, you know, how do they sell their product to the public? Generally, a fund that is no load and just advertises or accounts on being brought to investors by people like me or by fee-only financial advisors, you're better off in that kind of fund than one that emphasizes being sold through brokers who base their sales too often on the commission and the amount of the commission rather than what's good for the individual investor. And that's what we saw a lot in the mutual fund scandals. The funds that were involved in the scandals are generally those that sold through brokers that gave high commissions or that were closely affiliated with a non-mutual fund company such as an investment bank or a brokerage firm. So I like to look for mutual funds that are standalone businesses. They're not part of some larger conglomerate where there might be some kind of conflict of interest.
Well, let's get your web space and, of course, your telephone number out just one more time.
Right. They can go to the website at retirementwatch.com, or the 800 number is 800-552-1152.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. Really appreciate your being with us, and the best to you. Thanks so very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Mr. Bob Carlson. Sydney, these are things we have to think about. We've raised a lot of questions. Didn't give you many answers from my point of view, but we'll be talking more about that as time goes by. Let me say one thing. I think we're living in very uncertain times. And as they say, when the ship goes into the storm, batten down the hatches.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-MORE.
Hard to find all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly, and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have a booklet. It's called The History of Money. We have a DVD. It's called The Coming Financial Crisis. And I think if you have those two things, you'll have a pretty good insight into what's happening. Remember, I'm not a financial consultant. I'm an amateur historian. But I understand that somebody is manipulating our economy. Somebody is moving America towards financial Armageddon. So if you'd like to get the items, the CDC, DVD, I should say, on the the coming financial crisis, and the pamphlet's only $3.95 for the pamphlet, plus shipping, that's the History of Money, but let me recommend them to you. We have another great pamphlet, it's called Genetic Engineering, Population Control. All of these pamphlets are $3.95, and certainly you'll find it fascinating. We have actually three of them on 911, $4.01, $4.02, $4.9113, and then, of course, one on We Are a Republic. You need to understand the myth of the two-party system, why our founding fathers created a republic, and the difference between a republic and a democracy. And you need to read that about 15 times and get your children to read it. And when Mr. Roberts, who's being selected for our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, was introduced by President Bush, he said, "I believe in a constitutional democracy." Democracy? Why would he believe in a constitutional democracy? We have a constitutional republic, or we did have. Well, Arlen Specter, the worst Republican, is backing Justice Roberts. I think the Christians are in for a rude awakening once again, as we find that, like the Pied Piper of Hamlet, are being led, of course, to our own destruction. So don't put your faith in men. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. We do carry the Phyllis Lavely's excellent book on the Supreme Court called The Supremacists. And then, of course, we hope that you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And you'll order the items we mentioned, my booklet on genetic engineering, on the Foreknowledge 911 books 1, 2, and 3, on the history of money, and of course, the DVD we talked about, The Coming Financial Crisis. All available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, you can get it by itself or along with a video and a audio tape. They call the Brotherhood of Darkness special. It's $29.95 for all of them. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. You can listen to our internet programs 5 hours a day. And then, of course, you can listen to our archive programs in addition. You can get our shortwave frequencies if you don't have access to the Internet. And if you don't know how to reach them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Let me remind you that we are having an all-day seminar here in Santa Cruz on the 19th of November. And we do hope that you can come. Lunch is going to be served. We need to know how many people are going to be able to come. That's the 19th of November. That's a Saturday, and we hope people will be here from all over the country. I promise you it'll be a great program. And then, of course, we want to mention that we are now doing an afternoon program in 16 to 17 stations in the Midwest, and please pray that people will listen there, that we can begin to get more people educated as to what's really going on behind the scenes, because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And you can't understand why everything is going from bad to worse in Iraq. You can't understand why we had such a poor response to Katrina. You can't understand literally anything going on in America today, unless you understand that there is indeed a conspiracy against God. So we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.